Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking Season 1, Episode 23, Modern Warfare. We've waited so long for Paintball Jess Sterling, and it's finally here. Oh, my God.
Yeah, time for the spring fling. What?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for this. Is this the best episode of season one? Is this the consensus pick? Probably, right?
I think this or Contemporary American Poultry are certainly the top two for sure.
Yes. Okay. Something's happening. Something is happening. Someone is walking into the room loaded up with her own equipment that she brings to every paintball match. Grace Leader in the house. Grace.
What is it, soul brother and soul sister?
No, it didn't work. It didn't work.
That's what I was supposed to say, right? That was my line.
I thought about doing it, and then Grace did it, and it was so much better than I could have done it.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Grace. Well, I'm so happy that you did that.
I'm here. Yeah. I'm back.
What it is an episode of community building. It's our first in a minute. We took last week off. We appreciate everybody, your patience. We're back in full force now. We got that paintball episode. It's Modern Warfare. Grace, is this the best episode of community of all time?
Of all time? It's close. It's up there. Top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the best one of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the best paintball episode.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, my feeling is because we always like to go over the backstory a little bit before we launched community building proper in the main feed. There was the post show recaps, patron only version of community building. We call it season zero. It was Jess's attempt to convince me to enjoy and watch community. It worked. And it was a curated list of episodes. And when we got to paintball, we did, this episode as well as the season two edition of paintball. Yep. And I definitely feel like I prefer the season two paintball. It is my personal preference for sure. And I'll reflect that just like sort of like honorifically in the ratings for the episode, but it's really just like to mark the two. I still think this is obviously an elite episode of community. It was super, super fun to go back and revisit.
Yeah, it's definitely one that had to be included in that original patron-only podcast. Like, you can't not include the paintball episodes, specifically because we had Contemporary American Poultry, another genre episode. But now this kind of, again, this really feels to me like a segue into season two. Like, this feels like the energy that season two has. And it's just such a good episode. I think everybody is kind of, like, at their best, even though this one is more Jeff centered than I think the other paintball episodes are, which does feel season one. I think that everybody is just like firing on all cylinders this episode.
Especially Chang, Grace, because he comes in, he's just firing on all the cylinders at his disposal.
This is like the best use of Chang. This is high up there. This episode, like, I think the format of it too, just like bust down the door of like what community is going to try to do. I feel like there are some of like bits and pieces of it that they're like trying though season one, but like, this really is so different. So it's such a total different take on what like a sitcom can be, to the point where like it was like very like, I feel like Community was still around like the water cooler-y times. This was a big deal when this episode came out. It was like so different. It was so neat. It's a unique format for an episode. It was great. It's really good.
Do we think that like this is like between contemporary American poultry and this episode, like is it both of them or is it one more than the other that like you would say both for you, Grace, and for you, Jess, that you would say like, you could imagine like Community like transformed itself based on like, were these like kind of like proofs of concept to some extent of like what they could do moving forward, I guess is sort of the gist of the question.
Yeah, I think that definitely. I think they, Dan Harmon even said like, there's no way this episode happens if they can't get Justin Lin back, to direct it, because him and then like the sound effects people and like the, what is it? Visual effects people, like all of those people had to come together and agree to the episode for it to happen. And I think that like, I don't think that this is necessarily like them proving to everybody that Community works. I think they're just willing to take the risk, right? Yeah. Like they didn't have amazing ratings. So I feel like I guess they're like even bolder as a result. Like, oh, why not take the leap? You know, what else are we waiting for? They even make fun of Glee in this episode yet again of like, Glee is the ratings darling and Community certainly is not. So I think, yeah, I think this is just like a leap that they took and that they're like, why not do a genre based episode? We did it once and we could do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like the Modern Warfare is definitely the one that like the paintball stuff is certainly the stuff that like they go back to it, right? Like right. they, it's certainly like the, like it's the block, it's the movie blockbuster. Like it's the action movie. Whereas, contemporary American poultry is much more of like, I guess like the indie darling, but I think that they both, serve a purpose to show that like they're so good at like, satire is like, this is definitely just spoofing every action, like a bunch of action.
Like movies, Die right? Hard is heavily referenced, with Jeff, like going full John McClane. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. he's got like the tank top. He's got like the dirty look. He does the gun on the back at the end of it. So yeah. like they're very clearly paying homage to a bunch of different things here. They do the Warriors thing when the disco crew comes up, mm-hmm. like they really go for it.
And Dan Harmon even said too, well, first of all, Die Hard's his favorite movie. But also he says that like the way that they were doing the homages, they wanted it to be very clear that they were paying homage to those movies. Like they didn't want it to be a question and he didn't want it to feel like it was ripping off those movies. So he made sure to make it like extremely clear to anybody who's even heard of Die Hard that it was that reference, you know, which I really appreciate as well, because it's, you know, I think it's one thing to do like a parody, but this definitely is more of an homage.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It was really, really fun to go back and watch. It's definitely interesting to go back and watch it, in the context of having seen so much of season one now, aka so much of season. I mean, I've seen all of season one up to this point at this point. So like, I feel like I'm on like a narrative trajectory here, and I feel like it's been a little bit of time since we've done anything like super meaningful on the Jeff and Britta front. Obviously, they really do it on the Jeff and Britta front quite literally in this episode. So they really, they like followed down that Ross and Rachel line. Hey, look, Friends, we're talking about that again. Oh, that was offline. Never mind. So we really cut into the tension, that is, at the heart of this group. And, I don't remember if I had asked this the last time we spoke about Modern Warfare, which people can listen to if they go back in the archives of the Post Show Recaps patron feed. If you're not a patron yet, this is great incentive, isn't it? Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. But Jess, I know you were listening to that episode before we did the podcast today. Did we talk about whether or not is this the end of the Jeff and Britta storyline? Do you want to answer that? Should I not?
Yeah, so
know?
We did talk about it in general. Like I definitely gauged your temperature on how you felt about Jeff and Britta at that moment. I mean, I think it's fair to say that, like, you know, at this point they've had sex. There'll be repercussions for that later on. I think like it's not a surprise to hear that they've had 6 seasons and the Jeff and Britta thing comes back up. Like, I don't think that's a huge spoiler to tell you. We discussed it a little bit. Your take at the time was that you liked the Jeff and Britta pairing because it was really all you knew at that point. So you didn't have an issue with it. I think that, we also kind of mentioned, you know, the fact that they just kind of shove them together. They're like, well, now they did it. You know, now that's it. Like, it's not as much of a will they, won't they as Ross and Rachel was.
Yeah. I think I still like them together. I don't know.
That's fine. We're still early in the show's history, so.
It's a very weird, like, will they, won't they? Because at the end of the episode, it feels like, I guess it's not a will they, won't they, because they did.
Right.
But they're also like, that never happened, by the way. Like, bye.
Right.
Yeah, they're trying to just kind of like brush it aside. And like even Dan Harmon says, like, they're both kind of narcissistic. Like, they're both just like kind of horrible for each other because they bring out the worst in each other. So they're really not a couple that like should last long term or should work long term. Not that they're even a couple here. But I just don't think that like realistically they would work together long term.
Yeah. I think it's fun. I like it. I still do. But I think what I appreciate about it more this time around is even more so probably what I had liked before was sort of like the nonchalant way that it happens, like the goof off where there's like, blah, like, you know, pretending to make out and then they just do. I do think that that's like a really funny way to like have them finally like consummate this season long arc. I laughed really hard watching that today, having forgotten like the exact, like, I remembered that they finally have sex in this episode, but I kind of had forgotten like how that comes up, and when it was done just like so offhandedly, Grace, like that really really tickled me today. I laughed really really hard.
I think it's really good. I mean, like, I don't think that, like, again, like the point of like, are they good for each other or whatever, probably not, but I do enjoy them on screen together. Like the whole thing, like right afterwards, he's like, "Oh, you like slept with me, so you could win a paintbrush." Like, no, I slept with you, and now I'm going. You know, I can do both. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like them together. I think they're great.
Yeah, but I do too. All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about with this one. Let's dive in. Yeah, Jess, as you mentioned, it is directed by Justin Lin, acclaimed filmmaker, big blockbuster director. Not the store. But that would be cool too, if they ever want to do Blockbuster the movie and have like a paintball scene in there, that would be great. But Justin Lin is here directing this one. Dan Harmon, Emily Cutler, the writers. May 6, 2010, 11 years ago, more than 11 years ago at this point, this episode aired.
Yeah.
That makes you feel a certain way.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like that. Let me tell you more about the certain way it makes me feel. I don't like it. Yeah, the certain way is bad, is how I feel about it. Don't feel great.
We start off in the hallway. A man with a large afro is listening to music and skating down the hall while Jeff and Britta talk about whether or not raisins should be in a chocolate chip cookie. I feel like it should be oatmeal raisin or chocolate chip. I don't necessarily need them together.
It's not a chocolate chip cookie.
It's an oatmeal raisin chocolate chip cookie. If you add both.
A lot of words. Yeah.
It's a lot of words in front of the cookie. I'm not furious about it.
I will say,
you know, I'm not saying like I'm seeking it out as my forever cookie.
I think the popular opinion. So for Christmas, my mom and I make like at least 11 different kinds of cookies, I think, is currently on our roster. And we make both an oatmeal raisin and we also make an oatmeal raisin chocolate chip. And I will say the oatmeal raisin is more popular.
Interesting. That may speak poorly of the cookies if the oatmeal raisin is rising above a chocolate chip.
One just has chocolate chips.
So chocolate chip should be getting that in a slam dunk, Jess. I gotta say, I'm a little concerned.
Kind of chocolate chips are you using? Not.
Yeah, what are you doing? It's very sweet. Yeah, I'm nervous. Yeah.
So Jeff chastises the man for bumping into him, and Leonard yells out to the man, "What it is, soul brother?
What it is? Wow.
I love Leonard.
Leonard is ridiculous.
So good.
There's a lot of just like great shouts from a bunch of like the side characters this week.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
So we're in the study room. Shirley's telling everybody about how her sons are going to make her breakfast in bed for Mother's Day. Well, she's going to make it, but they'll bring it to her.
They'll bring it to her.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily trust her. She has pretty young kids. Like,
yeah.
In the kitchen alone, and so unless it's cereal, you know?
No.
Jeff and Britta interrupt her with their bickering, and everybody is super tired of hearing them bicker. Abed says, to be blunt, Jeff and Britta is no Ross and Rachel. Your sexual tension and lack of chemistry are putting us all on edge, which is why, ironically, and hear this on every level, you're keeping us from being friends.
There are at least two levels that I'm hearing. Their literal friendship and then the friends reference.
There you go. Multiple levels.
Am I missing levels here, Grace?
No, I think those, I think it's a two That's story
it.
Joke.
Yeah. It's a two story mm-hmm. house.
Mm-hmm. No basement. No attic.
No. Yeah. Or it's a basement and a first floor.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Half the house is subterranean.
Yeah.
Shirley calls them Sam and Diane, which Annie doesn't understand, and Shirley gets mm-hmm. really upset with Annie. We understand you're young.
Yeah.
Annie blames them for the infighting. Pierce tells Jeff to pork her and move on.
Pork her and move on.
Yeah, not like that.
The classic Pierceism. Yep.
The dean enters to remind them of the spring fling on the quad today. What? Pierce says the dean makes him uncomfortable, and the dean reminds Pierce that he's still in the room.
I'm still in the room.
Still in the room.
Yeah, I love that. This is such a great moment from the dean of him just like he's like kind of quiet about that too. He's just like I'm still in the room, which probably makes everybody feel a little more uncomfortable. So probably like kind of inclines them towards Pierce on that one, which is hysterical.
The dean tells them about a game of paintball assassin with the prize for last man standing. It's a
Okay, so I have to ask Grace, mm-hmm. my fellow summer camp friend here. Mm-hmm. Did you all have assassination? Did you play that? For those who don't know, Grace, prolific summer camp career.
Yeah, I worked in summer camp for a long time. Camp director. I don't know if we played like there was the game. I don't think we ever played the one where like you had a water gun and you could like squirt. Is this the one you're talking about?
Oh yeah, so that was Die Wars is what we called that.
Oh, did not call it that.
We called it Die Wars. Like, yeah, Die Wars. No, D-Y-E because you would put like dye like water like food coloring in the water, and each team had like different colored water and you'd run all over camp and you'd shoot each other. You had like you like drew a circle on like your white t-shirt so like if you got like hit there. Like then you die. Die Wars was great. We loved Die Wars, but assassination was different. And assassination, like not really flying anymore. But back in the day when I was a kid, we played assassination, which is basically Die Wars, basically paintball, except with tennis balls.
No, you threw tennis balls at people?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Not like we did like you know. Stuff that certainly is not allowed now, but yeah. No, we didn't throw a tennis ball.
Did you guys ever do, yeah. I think it was called Manhunt, where it was like mm-hmm. hide and seek,
oh, yeah.
but the opposite. Mm-hmm. There's like one seeker and everybody else is hiding.
The best is sardines, which is where someone goes out and hides, and then if you find the person that's hiding, you join them until there's eventually mm-hmm. like 30 people
packed just like sardines.
Packing yeah. sardines in one yeah. hiding spot. That was the best one.
Sardines is super fun.
We play all these at PSR.
Yeah, I've never played sardines.
I mean, yeah. Summer 2022. Yeah, summer 2022. Summer 2022 when we open up PSR camp. Yes, it's going to be great. Wonderful. It's going to be legendary. Yeah.
So the dean says that the prize is a Blu-ray DVD player, but it was stolen. So now it's DVD. Troy wants.
Yeah, TBD. Troy wants TBD. Pierce had that once, he says.
Yeah. Annie wants to get back to Britta and Jeff, but Jeff reminds them there is no Britta and Jeff. So Jeff leaves to take a nap in his car, and he leaves the door wide open to watch the band on roller skates crash.
Yeah.
I kind of loved that. Why are you roller skating in the hallway? Like, so, like, inconsiderate.
I wonder if I'm on an island with this to some extent. And I think I have to remember we're still early-ish in Community's run, but I feel like a lot of what we've just discussed in the episode reads to me as like wasted space. Where like the time that is spent in this portion of the episode could be devoted to further fleshing out the actual paintball tournament, which I think is what they do with the future one, mm-hmm. right? Like we really kind of just like hop right into
it. Well, it's also a two-parter, so I feel like right. it's harder to really compare the two because you have two whole episodes dedicated to paintball.
But in the second one, you do just like launch right into it, right? Like there isn't, there's really no messing around. It's just like we're with Annie basically from the jump. If I'm remembering that right, but I might be remembering that wrong.
I thought this was a very weak cold open. Like, I didn't think it was very good. I mean, like, they obviously need to set up a bunch of stuff. And also, I think the other thing, too, is, like, they've never done... Like, they haven't done the paintball episode before. So when you know, like, the next season, what's coming, like, you know it's coming. Like, you know, like, I don't know if people, like, specifically, but I'm sure, like, the episode title was out and whatever. And so in this one... the cult, like, they need to, like, sort of, like, set up, like, the dean sort of having the prize, and so then they can go, like, okay, 1 hour, here's, like, the 1 hour later thing. But it's just, I don't think, and they also want to set up the Jeff and Britta of it all.
Right.
But I just think it's, like, not super, there's not a ton in it that's funny. There's, like, a couple little laugh lines, and that's it. It's, like, pretty weak, I think, compared to what I'm, like, used to for Community.
You know, I'm in a position now where I'm grading. You know, I'm a grader now with Community. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, like, I'm just trying to, like, you know, like, I'm going around, like, checking the sturdiness of the foundation. You know, is the Jenga tower going to fall over? And, like, this is just an area where it's like, okay, in this is probably like, what, 2-3 minutes that, like, I could probably have lived without, and could, like, the points that need to get across in this episode from this stuff, I feel like you could probably build that in better by committing harder to the paintball stuff. But then the thing that I feel like I should keep in mind is that, like, this is early on in the show and they're still, like, testing the waters of if they can do this stuff. But it just felt worth talking
about.
It's
also kind of supposed to be, I think, like, super contrast. Like, here, the kind of, like, traditional sitcom, like, they're even making jokes. Like, you're the Ross and Rachel. Oh, you're the Sam and Diane. Oh, you're old. Like, it's, like, very, like, and then immediately we're going to switch to, like, this is not a traditional.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know? Especially with, like, the 1 hour later, it's like you're supposed to see the huge difference in the campus between when Jeff leaves to take a nap and when he wakes up. And it is, like, a scary movie, man. It is, like, a zombie apocalypse looking set.
But this, I don't know, like, this is kind of what it feels like every time I wake up.
A zombie apocalypse?
Now?
They're just, like, kind of, like, harshly back in the world. It's like, oh, here we are again.
Terrifying.
Well, I guess it's...
Here we go.
Gotta hop back in it. Yeah. Yep. It wasn't that different from reality, I felt like.
So the entire quad is deserted, and there's paint everywhere. Jeff approaches Garrett, who's underneath the poster, and he says, the paintball game was starting, and the dean announced the prize.
The prize! I just love the way... The prize!
We turn on each other! Unreal. Like animals!
My God, Garrett is amazing in this episode. He's just so good, apparently, even for, like, the 5 seconds he's here.
The actor was, like, terrified because they don't use, like, actual paintball guns to get... But they have to use something similar but with less projectile in order to make it look like, you know, paint spatter. Mm. And he was very nervous to be shot with it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know, guys. I'm like, that's very, like, Garrett energy.
Yes. Yes.
Sure.
Spectacular.
And Garrett says that the game is still going. And this is when Leonard shows up with a paintball gun. He chases Jeff. We get an action sequence with slow-mo. Abed, like, jumps off the wall and shoots Leonard. Leonard is out of the game. Come with me if you don't want paint on your clothes.
There's a quick exit for Leonard. Too quick, Grace. I would have loved to have had Leonard around for longer.
I think in terms of, like, they don't use too many of their, like, of the, like, the background characters we really get. We get a bit of Garrett there. We get some Leonard. We get some Starburns later, which I love. And you're talking about how it's a very, like, Jeff-centered episode. I think in a future one, if they were doing this again, like, if this was, like, later, Leonard would absolutely shoot Jeff right away, and Jeff would be...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Definitely.
But
you
use their side characters way more in the next paintball episode, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abed brings Jeff to a room where Troy is. Troy hugs him. Jeff Winger, you son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
I loved it.
I thought you were dead,
really,
man.
Really great Troy acting of like he just comes in and he's just like, I thought you were dead, man, like a war veteran who had been separated for years.
Yes. I mean, like, this whole moment of, like, Jeff and Troy reuniting feels like Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers, like, seeing each other for the first time after however many years they were apart in Predator. This feels very like 80s action movie tropey. Yeah. This moment, it's really, really good.
The whole scene, I think, is really
yes.
Is really,
I also love, I tropey. Like, the one thing I noticed when I've watched this so many times in the past week, and the thing I noticed after so many rewatches is, like, the outfits as well. Like, if you haven't watched this yet, and you're listening to the podcast, like, go back and watch it, because the way that they make these outfits like look like they've been through the ringer. Like it looks like these people have played on Survivor or something. Because if you keep an eye on it, like Britta has, normally she's wearing a leather jacket. Her sleeves are torn off and are being used as like elbow warmers. Annie's sleeves on her sweater are torn off and are used as like leg warmers. Like all these outfits. And we have like obviously Abed with the clips of paintballs across his chest. Like the styling is fantastic in this episode.
He's
got the big really goggles.
Good. Yes, love the goggles.
It's got like kind of like a superhero vibe, I feel like.
Yeah,
it's good. It's great. It's great.
So they tell Jeff that the prize is priority registration. Jeff thinks it's ridiculous until he realizes he could load up all his classes on one day. Aubin and Troy hold guns on Jeff as Jeff goes to reach for a gun.
Yeah, because like it's like the one ring of power, right? Yes. Like he's like the prize. Like now he understands. Now he knows why this has all fallen into such a disrepair. The entire community here is just they're salivating over this thing that they all need. Yeah, one day of class and then a 6-day weekend. That's too much.
Well, I don't even
way too much.
I don't even know if that's like probable. I don't know about you guys. Like I went to a state school and where I went to school, like most classes were either Monday, Wednesday, Friday or Tuesday, Thursday. And I guess it depends on the type of class it is, but it'd be really difficult to make all classes in one day.
I did have one of my housemates the final semester of college had a 2-day week. I was able to schedule everything.
A Tuesday, Thursday.
I did that as well.
No, I think it was like a Tuesday, Wednesday was what he was able to have.
Yeah, I think. I feel like that. That's what my experience was. It's very similar to Jess that you either had like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Maybe like the Friday was sort of like a seminar or whatever.
Yeah.
Go to. There's like you could throw some night classes in there and shit. But like,
I see the desire though, right? Like I see the desire for wanting priority registration.
Oh, it's very tempting.
Yes. Community college, like you have to imagine a lot of people are probably working or like doing other things. It's not their sole job to go to school. So
what it is, sole job. Yeah.
So we see or Abed says they should work together so that they all last longer. The debate team did it first, but they fell to infighting. They say the Glee Club is luring stragglers into sniper traps with cheery renditions of hit songs.
Now that feels like a shot. That's very funny. Yeah. Just take an aim at Glee. Mm-hmm. We love this. This is very funny.
Glee has better ratings than them. It makes sense.
Yeah. But then when they do just like literalize it and put it on the show, it's so funny. Just the idea of like these people singing in the distance to like bring you out to just
like
snipe you.
With your best shot. Like it's so perfect.
Yeah. It's so tacky.
Jeff asks if the girls are in the game as he takes his shirt off. A guy from the chess club enters and Jeff realizes he's a pawn. So they send out a decoy with and the chess club falls for it. So they stand behind the chess club and shoot them all.
Yeah.
I love the hats.
What does he say to them? Like, tell the drama club that their tears are going to be for real?
I do like the way they like use all the like, I feel like, you know, they haven't got to the point yet where they want to use their side, like their toy box characters quite as much, secondary characters, but they do a really good job with like, the debate team failed to infight and the Glee Club's throwing people out. Oh, the chess club sent a pawn. Like, it's very clever. Right. I think it's very clever writing.
Yeah.
I agree.
I love the
totally
outfits
agree.
Too, because you have like the bowls with like the pawn, the pieces of chess on the head. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. So, and then Troy just like gets like the, like double taps one of the guys.
Yeah,
like,
so good.
Shoot them so much, like anybody in this show, they shoot them a million times.
But those hurt too.
Those are close range paintballs.
I was going to say, I want to applaud like the pain tolerance of everybody at Greendale. Like everybody seems to like take this pretty well.
Yeah, it's especially
impressive.
The dean who'll take one to the head later.
He takes one straight to the forehead and then is able
welt
to
on your head. Like there's no shot you wouldn't.
No way.
Jeff, Troy, and Abed enter the student lounge and they see Starburns and Pierce raiding the vending machine.
I always is this new, or is this something that I've meant to comment on before and I hadn't commented on it before? But doesn't Jeff say star burns sort of like in a weird way? Like the way that I like always like intentionally mispronounce
100%.
Things.
Yeah,
star burns. Yeah.
Shambo.
Like Julianne Moore. Yeah. Like, I mean, like that's not that's not real, right?
I want to say that it's I commented on this somewhere when I was, I live watched this episode with the patrons in the Discord last week because we were off, just as like a fun thing to do. And I'm pretty sure I said that when I was watching. That he says it just like you, with the Julianne.
It's a bit. It's a bit. It's not real. Not to break the illusion or anything, but like, this can't be real. Star burns. It's very weird.
Pierce is upset they formed an alliance without him, and Pierce says he'd rather be with them. He shoots Starburns, who drops all the snacks.
The only funny thing Pierce does in this whole episode is shoot Starburns as soon as there's like even the hint that he could join the other guys. Yeah. he doesn't even promise.
Well, that's funny, but I think his demise is pretty funny too. Yeah. You know, that he's so easily.
We'll get there. I've been hanging out with my nieces who are 4 and 1.5. I feel like I use the exact same strategy. don't you eat that?
Don't
you
even
eat
do that.
That. Don't you do that.
Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They all need a pee break, and Pierce stands guard because he's wearing a diaper. For the game.
It's for the game. For the game. Anything for the game.
They check under the stalls. They don't see anything. They stand in front of the urinals when they realize there are body-shaped clean parts of the wall. There's like a drip slowly coming down the wall. Shirley and Britta step out from the stalls while Annie pops up in a garbage can. Freeze, Mama Jamma!
That's commitment. That's commitment.
I watch shows with the subtitles on every time. And when Annie pops up, it says indistinct.
It
can't catch what Annie's trying to put down.
In the subtitles for this whole scene, it's all like indecipherable chatter. Yeah, that's what I got too. It was really, really funny because everyone's just like kind of like that's great.
I can't not see Annie with the garbage can lid strapped to her head. It is like, I'm sorry, but like I have to give her bonus points in my meow meows. For the garbage can head, because it is so ridiculous looking. Uh-huh. I love it.
It is really good. Annie doesn't have a lot in this episode, but what she really does makes have, up for
she
it.
Uses yeah. perfectly.
Yeah.
So they all have guns on each other. Abed pitches merging the alliance. Britta and Jeff, of course, start bickering again, and the rest of them turn on them, telling to shut up.
Yeah, they're done with it.
Annie agrees to an alliance until they're the last 7 standing.
Doesn't quite work out this way, but it's a nice thought.
It is. We're now outside. Troy approaches Shirley and says he thinks they're the only 7 left, and he wants the 2 of them to take out the others. Real nice, Troy. That'd be great PR for the black students. Troy says,
I'm not an ambassador. I'm a gladiator.
Good. He gets hit.
It's a good line.
I love the Shirley line. Troy made God mad.
Troy made God mad is very, very, very funny. Very funny.
It's one of the wonderful Shirley moments. But this episode has so many good Shirley moments.
Shirley is spectacular in this one.
I think this is the other piece. When Troy gets hit, I think this is the first time in the episode where you're like, This is kind of weird in the sense that they've, and then he just walks away.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, in a normal situation, you would have them all be the last 7. There would be something where they all get together. Right. And so slowly it's just like Troy gets eliminated and he's gone. He's out of the episode. Like it's very unique.
Yeah. Well,
this is another, but this is another like action movie trope. Like this is very right. Aliens. Like right. To spoil Aliens for people, which I'm sad to do if you were ever going to watch Aliens because it's an incredible action movie.
There's
but like there are aliens in it. They spend the first like 45 minutes of the movie building up the Marine Corps right. and like kind right. of like really individualizing all of the characters. So like, you know, even if they're like, you know, relatively low profile on screen, like most of them at least like sort of like pop with some level of like their own specific characterization, and they get like 45 minutes in the movie, and you definitely like expect like most, if not all of them, will probably not make it through the movie. But what you don't expect is just like in one huge swath, they're just going to like take out like 70% of the cast. And that's kind of what happens here, where like Troy gets got here, and then Annie stands up and gets sniped and by Pierce. The Glee Club, and then Pierce. So it's like, it's very Aliens this moment. It's like the first huge action scene of Aliens they kind of do in this part, which I really enjoy.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, they all take cover and they hear singing. It's the Glee Club.
It's so funny.
Hit me with your best shot. And yeah. Annie's death, in my opinion, or death, you know, whatever, demise, whatever you want to say.
She's not
my
on favorite. The show after this.
Yeah, this is the last time you see Annie, right?
I would be devastated. Annie's annoyed. She stands and says, "This is so uninspired." And she gets it. And it's my favorite of the.
It's very good.
Very good. Jeff says he has a plan, and he tells Pierce not to come over here. And Pierce, of course, starts going over.
And just gets wailed on in, like, the ribs.
Yeah.
It's so tough, poor guy.
So they realize the Glee Club is in the tree, and they shoot them all down. I love the dangler.
And then that one guy who's, like, trying to, like, slowly come down safely. It's, like, not fast enough. So they
right in the open tummy. Just right in the thumb.
Oh, in the midriff.
Oh
my God.
So we're now in the cafeteria. They're sitting around a fire.
Yeah, just a fire inside.
Well, apparently they had to edit out a scene where something happens where like they rip out they kill the generator or whatever. I don't know. There's some scene that is missing where they ruin the generator. And so they have to have a fire inside.
I think it's better unexplained.
Yeah, I think it's so much funnier.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, because now it's like they're like going to like protect the town. Like it's a Western.
I love that they're all like holding their hands very close. As if it's racing. Yeah.
They're like mountainside right now. You can imagine they just like ate their rations for the night and they all have to like warm together.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
It's like, Britta, if you're cold, put your sleeves back up. You're the one who tore them off.
Yeah.
So they all start talking about what they'll do if they win priority registration. Jeff says he wants to get out of school in 3 years instead of four. Britta says she'd take classes with no tests and no papers. I don't know how that's possible. Shirley would choose all morning classes so she could get home early to spend time with her kids. So cute.
Yeah.
And Britta says if any of them win, they should give it to Shirley as a Mother's Day gift. Abed agrees. Jeff tells Britta to stop guilting people with her humanitarian shtick.
Britta's like, what, you don't think I'll do it? He's like, no, you'll do it, but because you're a phony.
Yeah.
Because you're a faker.
And then they start bickering again, so Shirley and Abed get their guns ready to shoot.
There's an alternate version of this episode, Grace, where, like, Shirley and Abed shoot them here. And then it's their episode from here on. I kind of like that.
At the end, it's probably better if it's, like,
Abed would do the jumping
Abed.
Shot, right?
Yeah.
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 They hear a noise and see the disco guy come in. He brought it back. Tons of other people come in on roller skates. Shirley has this epic
study
moment.
Group come out and play.
I love the Shirley shots where she has like she does like one to the left and one to the right, and then she gets of course shot in the back.
It's so subtle that I had to like do a double take again. I was like, did they get her?
Yeah, they got her.
Of course
they
did. Unfortunately, they got her in the back twice. Yeah.
Britta and Jeff save each other. Abed follows them behind and shoots at them. He doesn't think he got hit, but he did. And the little, he has those tiny
my legs.
Little
my legs.
Yeah, my legs.
Stand down. My legs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Britta notices Shirley got hit. I'm going home, Britta.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I love her.
I just love when they walk away with also like just the random guy who joins them. So there's so good. That's great.
As they leave, Britta says she'll win for Shirley. That's nice.
Shirley, I'm going to win that prize, but not for you and your boys. That's less nice.
It's really good. Yeah. Favorite Shirley line.
That's nice. That's less nice.
Brennan notices Jeff has been hit, but apparently it is just blood, which they're very.
Oh, it's just blood. I'm so lucky.
It's really just blood. Yeah.
So gross.
We're in the Dean's office.
And it looks like it's like hot magenta.
It's
he should
colored.
Go see a doctor yeah. about that. That color of blood seems unusual.
It feels very camp like too. So, are you okay? Like, it's just blood.
It's just blood. Don't worry. I'm
it's
fine.
Normal.
Totally. Yeah. No, I'm good. It's just my blood.
It's just my blood.
It's just my blood.
Coming out of my body. That's fine.
I'm fine. Don't worry about me. It's just my blood.
We're in the dean's office. The dean can't believe the game is still going on because it's 2 a.m. Chang tells Dean to quiet down. He offers to play in the game and take everyone out. He plays three times a week.
Doesn't he say, I'm one of those douchebags that brings his own equipment? I just love that line. Such a good line. I'm one of those douchebags who brings his own equipment. It's just so funny.
Yeah,
the dean
says he's not a student, but Chang tells him to enroll him in a class, and they do like an evil laugh together. He asks,
so what are you interested in? I love arts and crafts. Oh, me too. I do arts and crafts.
So great. Best Chang in this episode. You
it's very
it.
Good. Listen, I've loved Chang. I think that there's been a lot of great Chang in season one. I think it feels to me like a lot of the bad Chang stuff must be in the distance, because I feel like there have been a few moments in season one where he's been really, really funny. In this episode, he's really, really great.
I mean, I think the thing is that like, Chang is fine in certain doses. In this episode, you get basically one huge dose of Chang, and then one little extra dose here.
Yep.
And that's like fine. It's just like that's later
perfect.
On.
Yeah, a little dollop. Little dollop yeah. and a big sploosh.
Yeah. I still don't have that. You know, that hasn't happened for me yet. So
okay. just to put it on the record, we need a big sloosh and a little dollop of Chang, and that's the perfect amount of Chang.
That's good.
Okay. On the record. Yeah. So we're in the study room. Britt is cleaning Jeff's wound as they sit on the table. The group would be thrilled. The wounded soldier fantasy means we're moments from doing it, right?
That's so funny.
So they have this whole conversation. Jeff says he invented phony, and Britta actually cares about people. And Britta says, oh, he's not actually a jerk. You're fine, especially now I've repaired your overworked torso with my trembling feminine fingers.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they kiss.
Yeah. It's so funny. Just like when they just like both like get so close to each other's face. Like, you know it's coming. Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah,
it's so funny. But I mean, I feel like I'm trying to remember like where we were with like this storyline was when Jeff gave her the flowers after tap dancing, I think was kind of like the last really momentous thing in the Jeff and Britta are potentially romantically going to be involved story. So I felt like this was interesting to watch kind of in the context of that for me. Like, this did feel still to me like more of like less of just like a joke and the less of a just like, let's pull off the band-aid so this is done on the show and now we can move into other territory. Like, it still reads to me like this is a data point on like the journey of Jeff and Britta together. Like, that's still how it reads to me as a viewer watching this, and maybe even more so now with the previous episodes in like the very recent rearview mirror for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. I think like it's kind of been building to this point all throughout the season. And of course, it's not every single episode, but they certainly like make a point of it in the past episodes.
Yeah.
So they start getting dressed. Jeff thinks the group is right and they just needed to relieve some tension. Britta pulls the paintball gun on Jeff, and Jeff thinks that she just had sex with him to win at paintball. She says, no, she had sex with him and now she's going to win at paintball. She tells mm-hmm. him not to be gross.
Don't be gross.
Yeah, I'm gross. You seem pretty practiced at putting on panties one handed while holding a gun. Can I get dressed?
Can I get dressed before you assassinate me? I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then he asked if everything they just did, if it meant nothing to her. They kind of talk about what the sex meant to one another, and apparently Britta wears Hello Kitty underwear.
Okay. Great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Britta
attempts to shoot Jeff, but he took the clip out. And he says he took it out when she started seducing him, and she calls mm-hmm. him gross for assuming that.
Yeah, this is another Die Hard reference. He does call her Hans at this point, I think.
Yes.
Which is funny.
Yes, and this is when Chang enters with a massive gun.
This thing is
a cheetah print, tiger print.
Tiger print. Tiger print. Yeah.
This
tiger
thing print. Is amazing.
Yeah. It is great. It's amazing. It is really good. Yeah.
Shooting like everywhere.
Like sort of like the angelic music, mm-hmm. you know,
and the slow-mo.
Just, yeah, just spraying the room like without any with like reckless abandon. I think that's what that phrase is reserved for. This is reckless abandon.
Yeah. It's a really like it's a classic moment. Like really, it's really iconic. Yes. Chang entering the study room with the paintball.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Suit. Oh yes. Yeah, the suit. Yeah, Jeff says he's not a student, but Chang says he's in critical media literacy and politics of gender, biatch.
Mm-hmm.
The biatch at the end is necessary. It's wonderful.
Yeah. But look, these are the classes that, like, I feel like that they don't explore that any further in this. Is like, that's just very funny. It's like not what I would have guessed for Chang, and I think it's great. It's just really funny.
Britta tells him Jeff to give her the clip and says she'll do this for him. They kiss, and Britta stands. They circle, Britta and Chang circle one another, shooting simultaneously. Their paintballs collide and they both get hit with shrapnel.
Yeah. So does that count?
The count?
Yeah,
it counts. I think the rule, if you get paint on you. So, like, does that mean if you're, like, leaning against the wall and you get paint, you're out?
Yeah. I mean, because, like, how else? Like,
don't lean.
You can't verify, you know? Like, you have to, you got to be careful. You got to, like, stay clean.
A lot of paint to avoid.
There's a lot of paint to avoid. It's a dangerous game, Jess.
Yeah, I'd sit outside, I think, because it's the cleanest, it's like the safest.
I don't, okay.
What if you had access to a laundry?
I would immediately lose.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Or you just change. That's cheating.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the move. Yeah, you just go everywhere with like a duffel bag of clothes.
What if I didn't get shot?
Yeah.
Get shot. What if I just lean? I was like, oh man, I got to do laundry. Change. I didn't do my laundry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would just go around with a duffel bag of clothes.
I would buy the same shirt like 8 times.
Yes.
But this is all happening like, you know, off the cuff.
I would just wear the same like Hanes white t-shirt.
What if you wore a shirt that looked like it had paint on it?
Oh.
That's
I think you'd
you'd probably lose instantly.
Oh, yeah, maybe it works. Yeah.
Or they'd be like, that person's out. And then at the end,
they wouldn't, they wouldn't try to shoot
like,
you.
Check it out. And he would, and they'd be like, that's not paint.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a pattern.
Yeah. That's a pattern of paint.
Chang is laughing as Jeff picks up his gun. Chang says there's no such thing as priority registration. He opens his coat jacket and there's a bomb of paint set to go off. Jeff runs and closes the door as his paint explodes behind him.
This shot is so silly.
So good.
It's so silly. It's just so like cheesy action movie as he dives in the whole room. And I keep expecting Britta to come out covered in like green paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She must have looked ridiculous.
Yeah. They didn't do it.
We're in the dean's office. Jeff smashes into it. Obviously a Die Hard reference. And Dean even says the Die Hard look is a good look for Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff says Dean is just sitting in his ivory tower while everyone shoots each other.
I do like the Dean just getting a, like a knock on the door and he goes like just a minute.
Yeah.
Like, what is he knows he's in so much trouble.
just a minute. Just give me a second.
Give me 1 minute. Don't come in here.
The dean didn't realize that it's a violation of Student Equality Act, and he shows Jeff a DVD player that isn't Blu-ray, but it does come with the remote that will be the prize.
Yeah.
Jeff lets loose on the room with the paintball gun.
Yeah, and then he does the Die Hard maneuver where he has the gun on the back and he shoots the dean in the head. And the dean seems to be, like, pretty cool with getting shot directly in the forehead.
Dude, that would not. That would be so.
That would hurt so much.
Yeah.
Hurts so much.
And Dean says, what do you want from me, Jeffrey? And Jeff says, yes.
Yeah. He wants that priority registration.
Yes. We are in the hallway. A janitor is cleaning up the paint as Jeff and Britta bump into one another. It's a little awkward. They both agree to say it never happened. No need
never
to mention
happened.
It to anybody.
Never.
Yeah, that wasn't real. That didn't happen.
No, nothing has changed.
Not weird, because it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. But it's like Abed, like he like smells the rain that's coming, you know, like he can like taste the weather. He's like something has changed. He knows. He can sense it.
And Pierce says it could be him. He's sporting a man thong.
Jeff says that he's got the registration form. He's going to give it to Shirley. And then, Shirley, if anyone asks, you have gout, and my foot was tingling because I do, and it sucks. And she's, do you mind walking with a limp? She has no problem with that moving forward. But it's a happy ending. It's a happy ending here.
Can I say that? I was, like, last week's episode, you're talking about how irredeemable Pierce can be in the show. And I think one of the problems is that you have this guy who is supposed to be what we kind of want Pierce, which is like, not that we want Pierce to be, but you already have this character who's a bit of a jerk, but then does the right thing. And so then when you don't have Pierce doing it, it's like extra doubly bad.
I agree.
Like, and I think that I was thinking about that last week, and I was thinking, I had to watch the episode, and I was listening to last week's podcast. It's just like, yeah, it doesn't, it just won't work with Pierce as long as you have Jeff, who is supposed to be a dick, who then does the right thing at the end of the episode, because that's what we kind of want from Pierce, but they already have a character. They need to give those moments to Jeff.
It's like a duplicative character. And like, I think that I like, you know, like the point of like, this is the cautionary tale. This is who you will become if you are not careful. But like, it's a very unsavory figure to have each and every week. You know, like that's a, that could work as like, that could work in like Chang doses, maybe.
But that's the problem, right? Is not only do you already have Jeff, but you also already have Chang, who is mostly irredeemable a lot of the time with his antics. So you really are like almost tripling down. I mean, eventually Jeff won't be like, he grows a lot. And so he doesn't have as much of this jerky quality as much, at some point in the future. But yeah, I just think like the, my problem has always been with Pierce that like, not only is he like really crappy, but then they like, they try to make him a villain and then they walk it back and it really just doesn't work for me.
You could see this show where like, they don't have Leonard on it, but they basically have like Chevy, like Pierce is in the Leonard role. And it's like, they look to him and they're like, you don't want to become Leonard. Like, so they're like, you don't want to become Pierce, you know?
Yeah.
But
I think it's better if they have it like that, but like, I don't know.
Jason,
I
guess
like,
Jason,
they need the star. Yeah. They need him.
So we're in the end credit scene. Troy is trying to leave a voicemail for Abed as Jeff watches. Hey, Abed, it's Troy. Yo, I'll meet you at the flagpole. And he just keeps re-recording it and re-recording it. I love it. Hey, Abed, it's Troy.
So
good. So then Jeff gets annoyed because he's listening to this whole thing. And he leaves a message. Hey, Abed, your girlfriend will meet you at the flagpole in 10 minutes. Goodbye. And then he's worried that he sounds like a jerk.
Like, I found sound like a jerk, didn't I? He's like,
yeah, and he's like, hey, Abed.
Hey, Abed, sorry to bother you.
As someone who is a chronic overthinker, this one got me pretty good.
I mean, like, and then like defaulting to like, maybe it should be a text instead, but then you can just imagine they're spending like 10 minutes crafting and recrafting the text. This is pretty classic.
Yeah, it was good. Ahead, very obviously for me.
Yeah, it's a street ahead for me as well. I didn't notice Jeff's coat. What is he wearing here? I feel like I've never seen him wearing this.
A puffy vest and like a very heavy sweatshirt. It's very strange. Yeah. I don't know what to feel what that is.
All right, let's do some F community feedback. Eric Divestein, I think there's a birthday coming up, and Eric Divestein says, who would you rather face in a paintball fight, the chess club, the glee club, or the roller skaters? I mean, I guess like as far as how they are presented in this episode, I think chess club goes down easiest. But if we're talking about just like not necessarily the Greendale factions here, I think I would be most nervous about the chess club. They're strategists, Grace.
Sam, agreed.
Interesting. And then,
and then the roller skates. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good.
That's
fast.
What I'd be nervous about with the roller skates is they're very fast.
I think Glee Club would be the ones that I would go after first, because like you're not just automatically assuming that they're like elite sharpshooters. Right.
And if they can't help but sing, they're going to just out where they're sitting a lot of the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that works. From Riley, Riley says, how does Josh think this episode plays better now? Does it play better now or the first time I watched it? Being the iconic paintball episode being seen for the first time, was that better? Or was watching it now after a season of getting invested in the characters, improving an already perfect episode? I really enjoyed it the first time, and I really enjoyed it now. I do think that some of like the episodes that are like really, really hyper hyped up can be like I feel like I'm not loving it as much as everybody else does. So I feel like this level of like pressure behind it. I really, 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 really super like this episode. But like for me, like I don't know that I would say like it's a perfect episode of TV. I think it's an excellent episode of TV. I think I enjoyed it more this week than on the first pass because I know these characters mm-hmm. better now. And so like I know like Leonard and like I've seen Garrett a couple of times, like having that level of investment in the show at this point, obviously, made this even better because not even just from season one, but like the other stuff that you've shown me, Jess, from, you know, seasons two and three and the slightest bit of four. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I have like a better sense of what the show is going for. So it was really fun to have all of that, driving through this watch through. From Ryan. Ryan says, is the Jeff and Britta relationship played differently to you now that you've seen everything before it? Yes. So I think I had said that, like, I still like it. I don't know. Am I wrong? Am I doing this wrong? I kind of still like it.
No, I think it's fine. Like, in my opinion, yeah. Like, it's fine, but I also agree with the rest of the group that, like, they are kind of insufferable with their bickering, and because they both tend to be a bit narcissistic and a bit self-centered, them long-term wouldn't work. So I guess it just depends on what lens you're viewing it through, right? Like, are you viewing it through a lens of like a relationship or just like a, hey, it happened, you know?
Yeah. From Deanne, Warriors, or the study group in this case, come out and play. Gives me major anxiety. I was way too young to have watched the Warriors when I did. Did either of you see movies when you were young that left a lasting impression? Yes, very much. I saw Terminator 2 in theaters, and I strongly believe that is why I am here right now. So left a very big impression.
I watched Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, that'll get ya.
At my cottage, and then I had to sleep in like the bunkie, which is like you had to walk from the cottage to the bunkie.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't walk to the bunkie at night anymore. And there's no bathroom there, so I couldn't go back to the cottage because I was too afraid the Jeepers Creepers guy would be there. Yep. So, yeah, that one scared me.
Where did you go?
Oh, I think it just held it till the morning. I probably went to bed, Josh. Yeah. I thought I was just going to imply it. But
yeah.
No,
if you want to say it, no. Yeah. I don't think I actually. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned that like Final Destination has forever ruined driving behind those log trucks for me.
Yeah.
And also, I remember it was like a big thing and like it really creeped me out. Like the one scene where you have the like the sheets on the clothesline and then they like sway and then you see his face, like for some reason that doesn't scare me to see sheets on a clothesline, but it reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm. Shiggins, you guys see the sheets on the clothesline?
Oh my god,
that dirty laundry.
So scary.
Oh no, it's not dry
I'm
enough
also when it comes to scary things, so
yeah. The ending of Jeepers Creepers is so messed up. It would be impossible to go back to sleep in those circumstances.
I don't even remember it. I just remember the guy. I think he like peeks into a truck, I think. There's like, or a bus maybe or something. Is there a scene that he does that?
I believe.
Isn't the director, he's canceled anyway. So
that sounds right. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
But yeah, it scared the crap out of
that movie really sucks now.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's a scary ending, is what I remember. All right. Meow, meows. Yeah, everyone did pretty well for me this week, mostly in the fours. I gave Pierce a flat three. He's just kind of in the episode for me. I know you really love Annie in this one, Jess. I'm not trying to bag on Annie. She's just mostly there for mm-hmm. me in this one. Obviously, the next paintball episode is really hers. So I gave Pierce a three, Annie a 3.5. I gave out a mess of fours to Troy and Abed. I meant to give Britt a little higher. So Troy and Abed, I gave fours each. Then I gave 4.5 to Jeff, to Britta, to Shirley. I think this is obviously a great Jeff and Britta episode. I really, really love Shirley in this one. You gotta give Chang the flat five. He's perfectly executed in this episode. He's just like so, so, so fantastic. There's just no way I'm not giving Chang the full deal this week.
All right.
Those are my meow
meows. Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
So I gave Pierce a 3.5. I know I ragged on him a bit, but he does, his lines are, the funny ones are pretty funny, so I gave him a 3.5. And then I couldn't give Annie the, so I gave Annie a 4. Jeff and Britta, I gave him 4.5. I gave Abed a 4.5. I gave Troy a full 5. I think he's so, maybe it's just the scene where he's like, you son of a bitch, I thought you were dead.
Yeah.
I think he's perfect. I gave Shirley a 5. I think that's less nice. It's really hilarious. And then I gave
Jane
a 4.5.
Nice.
Yeah, I originally started out giving every single person on this episode a 5 because I was a bit hyperbolic in how much I love it. And then I kind of walked it back a little bit. So I gave Pierce a 4. I'm actually the highest on Pierce. I think like he's utilized pretty well. Like I feel like if I'm going to compliment how well they use Chang, for the most part, Pierce is pretty well utilized. I enjoy him shooting Starburns. It just like cracks me up. And the fact that he could just be duped and like get assassinated by crawling is hilarious. I gave Britta and Jeff both 4.5. I didn't give them perfect 5s just because sometimes their bickering also kind of annoys me. So because of that, I did dock them each a 0.5. But the rest of the crew is getting 5 for me. So that's Abed, Troy, Shirley, Annie, and Chang. Troy and Abed, I think like this is like the kind of bread and butter episode for Abed. Like he just fits in so well with the tropey genre episodes. Troy, same reason as Grace, the I thought you were dead, you son of a bitch, like killed me. Shirley is so good. I just love her attitude about everything. I just love like, no, seriously, I'm going home. Like, see ya. Like, I'm out of here. Annie, it's the helmet of the garbage can. I just like, I freeze, Mama Jamma's. Like, I just, she's so funny and it kills me. And like, I can't not give her the perfect 5 for that. And then Chang, perfectly utilized in this episode. It doesn't get better for Chang, I think. This is the perfect episode for him. So yeah, I mean, the thing is when I love this episode that much, I expect to give out a lot of high scores on my Meow Meow Beans. So.
Yeah, for sure.
No movement in the character rankings. Beyond that, we have Jeff and Britta now tied for 4th place. Annie bringing up, you know, a 0.5 behind them. So, pretty locked in at Abed in first, though. He's 9 full points ahead of Shirley, who is in second. So I expect he'll stay there across the next 2 episodes.
I think good on Shirley for being this high towards the end of the season. That's great.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah. I love Shirley so much.
She's such a good character. Like I expected Troy to be like, I kind of expected it to be Abed and Troy, but watching this season back, like it really, Shirley has so many great moments. It's hard to not see her in second.
Mm-hmm. She just has like such great, like, she's like such great range. I feel like, as a character, like she's just like capable of so much. Like they're able to like tell like really like emotional stories with her. And then other times she can be like the comedy tour de force of an episode, or of a scene. She'll just like thoroughly dominate. I think that this episode is a good example of that, that like, getting her the priority registration becomes the priority, that like this is like a signal of like the group coming together. Like she really could use this. This will really like actually benefit her life, and not just in the way that like Jeff can slack off for 6 days in a row. While simultaneously she gets like the funniest moment of the episode with that's less nice. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think well earned up to this point, with a couple episodes still to go, obviously. With the Dean's list at this point, like I'm kind of just like waving the white flag and surrendering. Like it's obviously the Dean. There's so many different people who you could literally award this to this week, but the Dean is the best. The Dean stuff is very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Just like the sheer panic, Grace, I think you like seized on it. Just a minute.
Just a minute, and I'm still here. What?
Me.
Like so many perfectly executed lines, and just with like the very little screen time.
Yeah. I'm totally comfortable, Josh, if for season 2 you want to include him in the Meow Meow Beans, because like I understand he's not technically a full-blown member yet, but he really is going to run. I mean, he's going to run away with the points. Like he's the Dean. Of course he's going to run away with the points.
I think we got to stick to the rules. Okay. He may just be dominating his own category. Maybe what's going on here. Yeah.
So yeah, he is at 19 points. In second place is Vaughn with 8 points. Still valiant effort for the number of episodes Vaughn is actually in to have 8 points.
Gotta get him back.
Impressive.
Gotta get it back.
Tiny nipples, man.
All right. The coolant system. We're rating the episode. I don't know if this is scandalous or not, but I'm not giving it a full 4. I'm giving it a 3.9. As I'd mentioned before, like, I just want to, like, mark that I think that this is not as good as season 2's paintball episode. Okay. This is, I've only given out 2 full 4s, one of which I was, forced into.
No. Yeah. You were not.
If you
forced.
Check back the record, if you go back and let the record reflect, yeah, Jess said, well, you may as well put this at a 4. And I said, fine, I'll do it if you insist. I'm pretty sure it was the exchange.
That's exactly what happened.
I think that was the exchange. So it's like, it's really, really, really high up there. And I think, like, its reputation boosts it for me, to the 3.9, but I don't like full-heartedly, full perfect 4 love it the way that I think a lot of people do. So there's that 0.1. It's obviously still exceptional.
Yeah.
So a 3.9 for me.
Yeah, I give it a perfect 4. I think there are a lot of episodes of Community that deserve the perfect 4. So I gave it to it. I think, like, there's not a single point in this episode I'm not having a great time. I feel like the fact that you have a 20-something minute episode of television feel like a 2-hour movie is absolutely wild, and the fact that they can accomplish as much as they did, even with you at, like you were saying, you felt like the cold open was like a bit of waste of time, even to have that like minute and a half quote unquote waste of time and still have like all the stuff that they did crunched into a 20-minute show is wild. Full 4 from me. The only other episode that has a full 4 at the moment is Contemporary American Poultry. Both have earned it in my opinion, so that's where I'm at.
Chris, what'd you do?
Oh, I accidentally had it as a 4.5 in there.
So I really laughed so hard when I saw that. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I'm just going to put that she put it at a 4.
It's perfect and a half.
But it was wonderful.
It's perfect and a half. I'll give it a full 4. I think that it's really good. Even the parts that I've said, like, are not good are, so, like, the beginning, I think I've, like, come around with this idea that, like, it needs to sort of feel generic-y sitcom-y so then that you get the contrast of it being not a traditional sitcom. So I think even that step, even the beginning part works. Not in its favor, I guess, but I think it's still, it's so good. It's so, like, to me, I think there are probably episodes that I would give a 4 to that I like, and they're probably a little bit more my style. Like, I've never really been, like, a huge action person movie, but, like, this, I can just, like, sit, it feels like I'll just sit and I could watch it, like, a bunch of times in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched it twice pretty much in a row before this, and it's like, yeah, it's just, it's really fun. It's really good. It's really well done. I feel like everybody, like, to the point of, like, when we did our ratings of all the main cast, they're all really good in it. Like, even Pierce is the one who's, like, sort of lagging behind, and he has some really, really funny moments. So it's a really, really good episode of television.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. The audience is there with us. The 3.94 from them. Which,
what was the spread? What was the lowest that it went?
The lowest that it got was a 3.46.
Okay.
Highest, tons of force came in for it.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, right now it's actually tied for first, with Modern Warfare. With Contemporary American Poultry at a 3.96 average. So if you have
Is that with my 4.5?
That is with your 4. So if you have not sent in your scores and you'd like to, please, please, please do. community@postshowrecaps.com. You could even send in a backdate of scores. If you want to try to break the tie, I would love to see your scores come in. You have until the end of season 1 to send in those scores. So again, community@postshowrecaps.com. Or if you're in our Discord, you can always put your score there and tag me and I will add it to the lovely Excel spreadsheet.
Amazing. Okay. Well, obviously that's the right top 2.
Obviously.
You know, we'll see what gets broken there, but those two are clearly on top of the season. And it's really not close. Which just makes last week's episode so much worse.
Right?
That it has to be like smack dab in the middle of these two. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Just the disparity is so clear. It's so clear. Cool. Okay. Well, that's Modern Warfare. I'm so happy to have revisited it. It was really, really fun. There's just so many like little gems in the episode. Just the dialogue is great. The premise is obviously super fun. And it does feel like alongside Contemporary American Poultry, like they do feel like, sort of like these like twin proofs of concept that like I can imagine, like, they're like, okay, well, this is what we can do.
Yeah.
So like it gets me as a new viewer really hyped up, knowing like the reputation that season 2
There's
has.
There's a comment in the about that. Deidre says, hell yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. We have this. We forgot to read that during the F community feedback that Deidre said, hell yeah.
So much DTH.
About modern warfare. Tons of DTH. Grace, incredible having you here as always. Grace, what else is going on? Where can people find you? What do you got going on?
You can listen to Hold Up, a podcast I do with Hudson, where we watch old LGBTQ media and see if it holds up. I think the great Brooklyn Zed is going to be on an episode soon.
Yes. Yes.
Love that.
Yeah, we're watching some fun stuff. So come check it out. And Tuesdays, twitch.tv/DMPhilly. I play Dungeons and Dragons in space.
In space! Yeah, Grace and I have about an hour before we go to space on twitch.tv/DMPhilly as we are recording this. So for anyone who is watching this live, you will get to enjoy that live. But you can just go to twitch.tv/DMPhilly and check out the backlog of Grace and I playing Dungeons and Dragons in space!
Awesome.
I think so it goes. Jazz.
Josh.
Tell us about the shit that the 90s have taught you recently.
So, were you aware that your good friend Kevin Mahadeo loves Peter Pan? Did you know that?
I'm not shocked to hear this. I don't know that I was necessarily like overwhelmingly aware of this, but yeah, this doesn't surprise me.
He came on. It will be coming out. So if you're listening to this coming live, out. It will be out Saturday. He came on and talked about Hook with us, the 1991 classic film Hook. Yeah, he's super knowledgeable about everything Peter Pan. It was really fun to have him on. So definitely give that a listen. We talked for almost 2 hours, I think, on
Jess, Hook. Let me tell you a true story. I saw the Instagram post where it was, you were watching Hook with Kevin Mahadeo. I audibly gasped. My mom said, are you okay? Yeah. Yeah. I'm just excited about a podcast.
That's so great.
Don't worry about it. I love Hook so much.
Hook is great.
I love Kevin.
Yeah, funny story. My husband had
Grace, did you, when you saw that Instagram story, did you like touch the screen and you go, Kevin, it is you?
Yeah. And my mom's like, are you all right?
Yeah. Kevin, it is you.
So we have that coming up. And then, of course, as always, we are covering Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek. We're in the in the moment of Boy Meets World where like Topanga and Corey like break up a ton and then get back together, which I didn't really remember.
Is this after there's like the ski lodge stuff?
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Wow, this is pre-ski lodge stuff. Pre-ski lodge,
yeah, but they do break up a decent amount. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
That was traumatic.
Wow. It was very different of them.
Yeah,
very Jeff and Britta. They're preventing all of the others from becoming friends.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dawson's Creek. We are mid-season 2 of Dawson's Creek. And let me tell you, season 2 of Dawson's Creek is a wild, wild time. Like, it is, has to be up there as one of the best teen dramas. It's so good. I'm really enjoying it. I actually, have you ever seen, have that show, Dr. Death, that new one that came out on,
Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
Christian Slater, Alec Baldwin. What a weird lineup.
Yeah, we've watched 2 episodes so far, but seeing Joshua Jackson, he's so lovable as Pacey, and then watching him on the show, I'm really creeped out, man. It is rough, but it's a good show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you could find us at Shit90sPod. On Instagram, on Twitter, all of those things. We put out clips, we put out Instagram things like Grace said she gasped at. So it's a fun time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Follow along so that you too may gasp. That's where it's at. Gasps are where it's at. So we'll be back next week. We got more community building in the near future. What do we got going on next week, Jess?
Season 1, episode 24, English as a Second Language. With my friend and yours, Josh, someone you have podcasted with in the past, I certainly have as well, the great Karen from Canada will be on with
us. I'm so excited about this. I feel like it's been way too long. I'm really, really hyped to talk about community with Karen. This is going to be really, really, really super
fun. It's going to be amazing because
I know nothing about the episode, but just knowing that Karen's going to be on, I'm going to have a great time.
The best part is that Karen is I really enjoy getting a wide variety of people as guests, whether or not they're huge community fans or they don't know the show at all. And Karen, I think, is solely watching this one episode of Community to talk on the podcast about. So it's Yeah.
That's fun.
It's wild. And I was like, no, just watch the one. I think it'll be super interesting to get your perspective only having watched a single episode.
That's really fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Representing this past 2 weeks.
There you go.
I love it. I love it. We're very happy about it. All right. So Karen will be on the podcast next week. Make sure you're subscribed so you do not miss it. Check out everything we've got going on post show recaps. We've got so many podcasts. Next week, it's season 1, episode 24 of Community, but every week it's 24 on post show recaps with Worst Day Ever. Emily Fox and I talking about 24 season 1. So it's like a little bit of an inversion, not quite all the way there. It's a great time, though. It was a very fun podcast that we do there. We've got Everything is Super with the aforementioned Kevin Mahadeo, the Peter Pan expert. So many different shows, Down the Hatch. Love that DTH. So make sure that you are subscribed to all of the various shows, or you could just be subscribed to the main Post Show Recaps feed. You could also become a patron of Post Show Recaps, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And here is a very vague but early tease that if you enjoy community building and you enjoy our antics talking about community, you may want to think about if you don't have any plans going on August 1st, 2021, you may want to consider signing up for the Patreon. This could be the moment because there's going to be a really fun community oriented thing that is happening on August 1st. We will just leave it there. Mm-hmm. So we always say first of the month is the perfect time to sign up. Sign up at that Discord level and you will be treated to some ridiculous community building antics. So we're very excited about that. Jess and I spent some time this morning doing some like logisticking of what that looks like.
It's a special event for my birthday specifically because it's the start of my birthday month.
Mm-hmm.
Start of my birthday month.
Oh my god!
Yes, yes. It's so strange. What a coincidence! Fabulous coincidence. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on community building, as we love to say around these parts. Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Dale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.